Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know, it's just something about ya. Got me feeling like I can't be without ya. Anytime someone mentions your name, I be feeling as if I'm around ya. Ain't no words to describe you, baby. All I know is that you take me high. Can you tell that you drive me crazy? Cause I can't get you out my mind. Think of you when I'm going to bed. When I wake up, think of you again. You are my homie, lover, and friend. Exactly why you light me up.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Saturday night, and I apologize for not having our show last night here on Off the Chain. There was a situation with my husband, and we did not have to go to the emergency room, but we still may have to have blood transfusion. So I am your host, Yvonne Mason. This is Off the Chain, and that was Shower by Becky G. It was one of my little granddaughter's favorite songs, and as you all know, the last 2 weeks of this month, I am opening the show with songs that were her favorites, because it has been 2 years now since we lost her, and this is one of the ways I keep her close. You know, this show, when I started this show, I didn't know where it was going to go. I knew that I had goals for it. I knew that I wanted to help musician, artist, and entrepreneurs and dreamers like our guest tonight, author Janet Taylor Perry, to succeed. It's something that I had wanted to do for 5 years. So I did it. And I have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, because of the guests that I have on this show that are willing to take a chance and come on here and be interviewed by me, having no idea where the conversation's going to go. They just know it's going to take off and go. And willing to come back, and the listeners that tune in on a regular basis, both live and in archives, the show took on its own life form. This morning, I pulled up my numbers just on this show alone, and we are at 21,871 listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, it bowls me over. It's exciting to get up in the morning and look at the numbers and see how many of the archives are being listened to and the hundreds of people that listen to them. And Australia, I got to say, my hat is off to each and every one of you who listen to this show because, ladies and gentlemen, the beautiful country of Australia is 95% of my listening base. They are a phenomenal country, and one of these days I'm going to go down and visit them. With all the archives and the podcast that we have on this show is listened to in over 70 countries. It's on iTunes. It is on YouTube. It is on Stitcher, which is heard on Sirius Radio as well as online. It's on SoundCloud, Mixcloud, Spreaker, Podcast.com, Podcast Garden, FM Radio, TuneIn Radio. It's everywhere. People are taking this thing and running with it, and I am so appreciative because all of y'all, my listeners and all of my guests, have made this show successful. We are only 1,066 listeners away from a total of, including all the podcasts, 35,000 listeners. We are 33,934 listeners with all the podcasts plus the show itself. That is very, very humbling. So without further ado, let me introduce my guest tonight. Her name is Janet Taylor Perry. She is an author. It's her first time on my show, and I do hope she will come back because she's going to find we have a lot of fun on this show. She lives in Ridgeland, Mississippi since 1999. She is a native of Laurel, a graduate of the University of Southern Mississippi with a B.S. in psychology, Belhaven University with a Master of Arts in teaching, and gifted certification from Mississippi College. She is an author, an editor, and an educator. Her short pieces have appeared in Letters from the Soul, Brick Street Press 2010 Winner Circle, Mississippi Profiles, the Magnolia Quarterly, and she placed as a semifinalist or higher at the Pirates Alley Faulkner Wisdom Competition 2012 through 2016 with Broken, finishing in the top 20 novels. This woman's phenomenal. She is an educator actively involved in promoting literacy and participated in the magic of books in both the Jackson County, Mississippi metro area and on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. Inspiration, she says, come through life experiences. So she is the proud mother of five children, an avid reader of multiple genres, and she loves anything historical, from antique cars to old cemeteries. And those of you that know me know my weakness for old cemeteries. So we will definitely be talking about old cemeteries tonight. So without further ado, let me welcome Miss Janet Taylor Perry. Welcome to the show, Janet. How are you?
I'm fine, and thank you for having me.
Well, you are quite welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, if you hear the buzzing in the background, just as a disclaimer, Janet is on her landline telephone that is built for people with a hearing loss because she does have hearing aids and she needs it. So we're letting y'all know ahead of time, no, it's not the show itself. It's not anything mechanical. It's because she does have hearing aids and she uses this special telephone so she can hear me and I can hear her. So ignore that and we'll just move on and have fun. Now, Miss Janet.
As you hear rumbling, it's the thunderstorm.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. Thank you. Before we went live, ladies and gentlemen, all of a sudden I hear this rolling thunder and then this crack of lightning. And I told Janet, I said, now we have our own sound effects for the show. So be prepared. It is off the chain. I'm glad you remembered that, Janet. That was funny a while ago. So let's take a step back in time and tell me how you got from point A to point B when you were a little girl growing up in Mississippi and mapping your life, did it ever occur to you that you would be here, or did you have something else in mind?
Well, actually, growing up, I grew up very, very poor. So that is something that I can relate to with when I have children from inner city schools and things like that that I've taught. They see me as a real person because I've gone through some same struggles they go through. But I had planned to go to law school to become a lawyer. But then I met Mr. Wrong and got married. And things just took – I got the MRS instead of the law degree. And then I say I got the DIV degree.
Yeah.
20 years later, which is not divinity, it's divorce.
So, exactly.
So real life took over, and I did not pursue the law degree in the long run. So that was my original plan. But God had other plans. Five
so,
children, for example.
When you went back to school, was it after you got the divorce and then went into education as a way to take care of you and the children?
Yes. I went back to school and got the education degree. I got the alternate route teacher's license in Mississippi, and that's just two classes that you have to have. But then that was almost a third of the way to the master's degree at Belhaven. So I said, well, why stop there? Just go ahead and get the master's. And then I started teaching, so I had basically the same hours as my children, so I could still be home with them when they were home. But it was
so,
after the divorce, you know, because I had to go back to work because I was a stay-home mama.
And so would it be safe to say that going into the educational field was a detour in what you really want to do? It was not your first choice, but it was a way to, A, make a living, B, take care of the children, B, their form in the afternoon. And in that journey, you were able to – and now, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never been to Mississippi, Mississippi – and correct me if I'm wrong, Janet – Mississippi as a whole – has been known in the past, I don't know if it's that way now or not, but it was a very depressed state, economically wise. So there was a lot of poverty. There was a lot of growing up. Even, I think, Janet, as far as the 60s and 70s, some places, no water, no electricity. Would I be wrong in that?
No, you would not be wrong in that. You would not be. That's one of the stories that I wrote, a short story called Fig Leaves and Toilet Paper,
mm-hmm.
about a trip. I think it was around 1967 or 68. I was 7 or 8 years old, give or take. You know, I went to visit my uncle out in the boonies, and he had no toilet paper. Well, he had no toilet, period. He didn't even have an outhouse. A lot of people I knew had outhouses, but he didn't even have an outhouse. To go to the bathroom, you had to go down behind the barn.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am, this little girl. Yes, I grew up in the housing projects, but I had a toilet that flushed. And I had to go, and I really had to go. You know, I didn't have to tinkle. Nobody told me to take old newspaper down there with me. So I went down behind the barn, did my little job. Then I got to looking around like, wait a minute, how am I supposed to wipe myself? So I saw this big old tree that had great big leaves. So I said, ah, smart, I just use one of those big leaves. I discovered I was allergic to fig leaves.
Oh, no. Bless
so that
your
is
heart.
Experience in the mid-60s of no toilet, no running water. So, yes, I experienced that.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you see, and when I said Mississippi was a depressed state, it was probably one of the most economically depressed states in the South, because there was no economic viability even as late as the 1960s that people could work and earn a decent living. So when when you decided to go to college, and Janet, this is important for people who say, well, yeah, I can't afford college. I can barely afford to go to school. I can't do this. I can't do that because I live in the projects, or I am poor, or my parents are poor. How did you manage to pull yourself up out? And ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with being poor. Trust me, I grew up poor. My mom and my father and my husband grew up poor, but that didn't mean we stayed that way. We found a way to get out of it and to make a living for ourselves. So how are you able to get out of the economically depressed area that you were living, out of the projects, and go to college to even start the path of law, because that was an expensive education even in the 60s, 70s, even in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I'll let you know that I grew up in a home with my mother and my grandmother. I saw my father twice the whole time I was growing up, so I really never knew him. He was an abusive alcoholic, so my mother left when I was a baby. After he tried to kill me. That is a story that's also in my little book that will be coming out. I entitled The Little Book of Things That Are So Not Funny You Have to Laugh, and there are little vignettes of things that happen that I try to go back and see the humor in now. But I went to school. Like I tell my students, luckily I was a smart kid. I was a smart kid. In Mississippi at that time, they did not have gifted education. What a smart kid did in Mississippi at that time was read books. That increased your vocabulary. You learned all kinds of things by reading the books. So I went on to school. I had almost a 4.0 average when I graduated high school. I got a full-paid scholarship to Southern Mississippi. And you go where the money is. I was actually accepted to Harvard.
Wow.
But they didn't give me the money.
They
so
should
I followed
have.
The money trail. I did have a full-paid scholarship to the University of Southern Mississippi. So.
And
I got a DAR scholarship, and I got several other small scholarships that got me there, too. So, you know.
So ladies and gentlemen, when I hear young people or I hear parents of young people say, well, we don't have the money and we can't because, I'm talking to a young woman who all the odds were against her, who should have never, ever, ever done what she has done. The woman's got a BS in psychology, and I'm going to tell you, when I got my degree in criminal justice, psychology was my side, and psychology is not easy. You got to be on your toes to make good grade, and I made A's in psychology, but you have to be willing to dig and, as you say, read to make it in psychology and to get a BS in psychology. I'm envious almost. I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you.
Now,
it wasn't easy. Young people today apply for any scholarship that's out there. That's what I would tell them to do. If you are economically depressed, apply for that Pell Grant.
That's how I went to school.
What's the worst that can happen? They will say no.
Yep.
And the best that can happen is you might end up with enough money to go to school on, like I did.
I went back to school at 52 years old. I was getting a divorce. I had not worked in several years. I applied for the Pell Grant. I also applied for the Hope Scholarship and got both of them. Now, Janet, I hadn't been in school since 1969 when I graduated from high school. So I had been out of school over 30 years.
I understand. When I went back for my master's and I got the education degree, the master's there, first thing we had to do was take a test to see how smart we were, I guess. I don't know. We had to take the praxis. Average score on the praxis, I found out, was 154. These were for people coming directly out of an undergraduate program.
Mm-hmm.
I scored a 187 out of a possible 200.
Wow.
And I'm sitting here going, these people are teaching my children. And they're scoring 154, and I'm scoring more than 30 points higher than them. It was scary to me that my children were having educators that weren't educated.
And that is still prevalent today.
Yes, it is. Don't get me started on state testing and the teachers trying to have to teach to the test because they'll lose their job if they don't get a certain score on this thing. Don't get me started on that. I'm totally against it, so don't get me started.
You and me both. Go back to reading, writing, and arithmetic and stop teaching to the test. Honey, I am in your corner on that one because to me it's foolish because children don't – you can't teach to a test, especially when the test is nothing that you're teaching to begin with. Now,
well, I will give you an example of that. It played a part in Lucky 13, one of the books I wrote. My first time in the classroom, I was teaching at, I guess I could say that, can I say the name of the school?
Absolutely.
Should I say the name?
Yes, you
should. I was teaching at Yazoo City High School, which is a very low-achieving district. I started out teaching oral communications and 1/10th grade English class. I had one student who was just a demon from the pit of hell. But there was also something kind of charming about him, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one day, I was sitting there. I was standing there talking. This is what we're going to do our next speech on, blah, 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 blah. And he had this little rubber band ball that he kept passing it around. I didn't say a word about that ball because I knew sooner or later it would land at my feet. And it did. So I picked it up and dropped it in my desk drawer. This little guy came running up there, and I'm 5'1", so anybody's tall to me.
Yeah,
he was probably about
5'10".
He wasn't a huge guy, but he looked down at me. He goes, give me my ball. I said, it's my ball now. Sit down. He goes, you fixing to get hit. I don't know if I was stupid, crazy, insane, or brave. I don't know what I was.
Brave.
I looked at him and I said, I dare you. And he looked at me like I was a crazy person. He sat back down. But now I had to write that up because that was a threat to me. A couple of days after that, I was called to the principal's office. His mama was there. They were starting expulsion procedures on him for threatening me. And his mama's there. She's having a hissy fit. Like, you will graduate from high school. Your two brothers graduated. You will graduate. And I can't believe my boy did something like that, And they pulled out his disciplinary file, which was about an inch thick. And she looked at that, and she had apparently never seen a copy of it, the one you're supposed to take home.
Yeah.
She hauled off and slapped that boy right across the face in front of the principal, the assistant principal, and me. That had to be humiliating to a teenager. Come on.
Sure.
But she started begging me to give him a second chance. So I agreed. And I told him, if you step out of line, if you sneeze wrong, you'll be out of here. And about a week later, we had our 9 weeks test. And then I got called back to the principal's office. And went, oh, my God, what now? The principal said to me, Miss Perry, we want you to take over senior English and give the senior English teacher your oral communications classes because half our seniors fail the first 9 weeks of English.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yes, I did it. Because I really wanted to teach English. I didn't want oral communications, but you take what you can get when you're starting out,
Right.
But I didn't get rid of my little demon because he happened to be a senior. But I went in. I looked at that lady's lesson plan, and she had these underprivileged kids reading Ode on a Grecian Urn.
What?
Yes. And I'm going, no wonder they fail. These kids
can't read.
Can't speak modern English, let alone something with a written like that, Keeps this little brogue in there. You can't do that. So I said to them, okay, what did y'all think about Beowulf? They looked at me like I was crazy. What's Beowulf? And I'm going, this is senior English. You're supposed to teach British literature. And I'm thinking, why would you not start with, at that time, I think they found something older now, but that was the first known written document in English.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they had not even read it. Well, I said, well, what about the Canterbury Tales? Because I'm having this progression in my mind, Well, they looked at me like I was crazy. They had not read the Canterbury Tales. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. I only have 3 9 weeks to do what should have been done in 4. I said, I can't back up. So we'll start with Shakespeare. And we read a couple little things, and they're looking at me with these big old eyes going, "We don't know what that says." I said, "Yes, you do. Yes, you do."
And they
because I knew that 90% of those kids were in church on Sunday. I knew that. So I went out on a limb. I kept waiting for the ACLU to knock on my door. But I said, "I want every one of you to bring a King James Bible to class tomorrow." Because that's the same language Shakespeare used.
That's very true.
Yeah, we read. When this is when my little demon looks up at me here. "You, this scrawny little white woman, coming to try to change something you don't know nothing about." So I had to tell them the story of how I grew up. So that by the end of the story, this boy was crying. You know, he was crying. Because I didn't tell him it was me. I said, "I'm going to tell you the story of Jobet." And I told him all the story about what happened to Jobet, because she was Jobet, because she couldn't be Job, because it was a woman. And I said, "You know what Jobet's doing today?" And they're all shaking their heads like, "No, what?" I said, "She's teaching your class." And I got up and went back to teaching. And they're sitting there just like flabbergasted, you know. But they brought their Bibles the next day. And we did Psalm 100 and Psalm 23. I figure even a heathen has heard that.
Right.
And I said, "Okay, let's go through and put this in modern language, one line at a time." So we did that all together. And then I broke them into groups of four and had them do a psalm they might have heard, might not have heard, something a little more obscure. And then I had them individually take something they had never heard, a psalm, and put it in modern language, whether it was a rap song, a country song, whatever they wanted to do. They could do anything and then perform it.
Wow.
Then we did the same thing with Shakespeare's sonnets, the exact same thing. By the time we read Macbeth, they could understand everything that went along with that. The principal was absolutely in shock when she came in there, and she wrote in her evaluation of the class, "This person's name, my demon's name, I cannot believe that so-and-so was actually participating in class. I have never seen him do that in all these years I've known him."
See?
Now, it's a good story, but it's got a sad ending, because once again, we had that state testing, practicing for graduation. My little demon comes banging in my door, bawling his eyes out. And I'm saying, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And he said, "I can't graduate because I hadn't passed the blanky blankety blank English test. History test." He passed our English, he passed math, he passed science, but he hadn't passed the history test. I said, "Okay, calm down. Just take it again over the summer, and you'll be able to graduate in August." And then I had the cops come out in my room and drag him out. But I didn't call him. He had been throwing chairs across the gym. I was sitting there watching TV that summer, and the news came up. My demon's picture had murdered his girlfriend's mother's boyfriend or something of that nature.
Oh,
so this young
no.
man is spending life in prison for murder. So I sit back and I go, if he had passed that test, if he had graduated, what kind of impact might that have had on him?
And that is a piece of our future, a thread of our future that has been forever ripped out of the tapestry of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows where this young man could have gone?
Because he was quite intelligent. Not everybody can take those standardized tests. They just don't do well on that stuff. That's why I have all, when I was teaching, I had all kinds of different ways to get your grades, you know.
I've never done well on tests. And the reason is because I know it. I know it as well as I know my name. But you put a time test in front of me and everything just goes blank. You let me take my time and let me formulate it through my computer sensors and through my brain and get it all in order, and I can pass it with flying colors. But when you time me, or you say you've got to do this by such and such a time, it's enough to drive somebody crazy. Don't put that kind of pressure on a kid.
No, I would much rather go in class and have nothing but discussion questions where you have to
Amen.
Write stuff, because I'm a master BSer.
Makes two of us.
As a matter of fact, my second year in college, that was what our midterm test was. We walked in, we were given a piece of paper that had one question on it that said, choose two of the stories and authors that we have read so far this year, compare and contrast them. Back it up with excerpts from the stories.
Wow.
You know, I'm going, yes, I could do this. You know,
right up my alley.
And it was a wild ride in that class. So,
well, I hate that about that young man, because he had a bright future with an educator like you, Janet, and to get him as far as you did, that is commendable, because it sounds like that he had a lot of emotional issues and probably a learning disability that nobody ever figured out until it was too late.
Living in the society that he lived in.
Absolutely.
You know, the drugs and the easy way to make money or whatever. But it just broke my heart, you know, because I'm going, you know, I can only pray that I had some sort of influence on him somewhere, because the last day he was actually in my class, he kissed me on the cheek when he left rather than threatening to hit me.
Well, there you go. There you go.
And I keep trying to find where he is in prison so that I can actually write him a letter.
Well, if
just
you
tell him,
will,
your life is not over. You can still be somebody in there.
If you,
you
will
can influence other people in there.
If you'll private message me his name, I'll see if I can find him for you. Because you know that's what I did for a living, right? I hunted people.
Well, I will talk to you about that afterwards.
There you go. But don't do it, because anything we say when the show goes dark after it goes off live, anything we say goes up into archives too. So just private message me if you want to.
Okay.
Now, not only, ladies and gentlemen, is Janet an educator and an author, she also has her own book publishing company.
I just started it in March.
She just, okay, let's talk about that first, and then we'll get to the book cover designer.
It is entitled Dragon Breath Press, and our slogan is Where Legends Begin. So right now I have two clients that I provide editing services for. Then we will do the formatting, and we'll get it up on Amazon. We'll get it up on Kindle. And so that's what I'm working with right now. I have two people. I've got to start somewhere.
Exactly. Plus your own. You do your own as well, right?
I'm sorry. Excuse me?
You do your own books on your Dragon Press as well.
The first six that have come out were just gone. I went through Create Space.
Mm-hmm.
I think I will re-release those and find any mistakes that we did find. Yes, you know, like in one place I had a character named Parker, and he was parked. And nobody caught it. My editor didn't catch it. My proofreaders didn't catch it. I didn't catch it. But re-release those maybe next year. The one that's coming out now, is the first one that will be coming out, is my sequel to King Saturn's Realm on my Legend of Draconis series. And it is entitled Spirit's Desire. I'm hoping to have it in my hand with copies to sell by August 19th, which is the Mississippi Book Festival at the state capitol.
Wow.
The two people I have now, I guess I could go ahead and say their names. It's Marty Rappelt and Barbara Best. I have their stories are totally different. One of them is Barbara's is a contemporary romance. Marty's is, let's just call it urban horror.
Ooh.
But it's really different and an actual excellent read. But,
now,
if anybody wants to know more about it, they can email me at dragonbreathpress@gmail.com, and I can tell them all the services I offer.
And you also have a website, too.
I do. Well, Dragon Breath Press is a new website, but I have my own personal website, which is just JanetThaylorPerry.com, with all my books up there. You can go look at it and read about some of the other stuff. Everything's out there. But I'm still putting together the webpage for Dragon Breath Press. So it's under construction.
As everything is always fluid. I mean, you have to rework it every 3 or 4 months to keep the brand going. So tell me about the book cover designers.
Oh, yes. Well, now, like you said, I was an educator. I taught at Velma Jackson High School, which is just about 30 miles from my house, not quite as far as Yazoo. I had one young man there. His name is Christopher Chambers. He went on to graduate. He went to Delta State University. He got his degree in graphic design, and he does all of my book covers.
Now,
if you would like to see those, go to JanetTaylorPerry.com and pull them up and look at them.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, when I read that three times to make sure that I read it right, that a former student of Janet's that she taught in an economically depressed school does her book covers for her. Now, tell me that is not our future in action in our present. That is absolutely amazing. I know you're
he
proud of this.
He is amazing. He is amazing. You really need to look at them. I wish you could look at them as we're talking. You go, oh my gosh, yes. You know, you have them actually on your little teaser telling us what's coming up tonight.
Yeah, that's why I asked for them, because people that are listening to this show can see them. They're on a slideshow, so they can see them as they're listening to the show, because they are, as authors, when we write a book, if the cover does not jump out at us or jump out at the person that's looking at it, 9 times out of 10, they will not pick up that book, much less read the synopsis, because the cover is what sells the book. It can be the worst yeah. written book in the world, but if the cover pops, they're going to pick that book up, read the synopsis, and buy it. It's all in the branding and in the covering and it's in the packaging. And if it's a pretty package, ladies and gentlemen, you will get it. Trust me. And those covers jump right off the page at you. I'm telling you, this young man is absolutely got a future in design. Whether it's book covers,
and he will be doing the covers for Dragon Breath Press as well.
You know, he's one proud young man.
I'm one proud one teacher for having taught him. So.
Absolutely. Now,
so he's a good story, a good ending, you know.
Yes, he is a good ending. Now, real quick, why do you like old cemeteries?
Why do I write books in a series?
No, why do you like going into old cemeteries?
Oh, I'm sorry. I told you I'm hearing impaired.
That's okay. Sometimes
I
can't talk plain.
To me. I like to go to these old cemeteries and read the old gravestones. You go to a modern cemetery, they're all little flat things out there. You can't tell anything about anybody. They have personality. Those gravestones have personality. They tell you something about the person who died. They tell you something about that person's family. They tell you something about the history of the area. And
That's true.
I love it. I love
it. I will wander through old cemeteries and read. You can almost, in these older cemeteries, and ladies and gentlemen, if you've never gone through an old cemetery, you're missing history at its best, because you can stand there in front of a monument and you can read the name of the person who's deceased. They were the wife or the husband of so-and-so, who was the daughter of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so, who had 5, 10, 12, 20 children, and they're all named, who lived to the ripe old age of 101
right.
years old. And
it's
it tells
fascinating.
Yes.
There's one in my hometown, the cemetery where my mother is buried, my grandmother's buried there. When I was a child, I would go out there. And there was this, Hopkins was the last name. He had the father's name. He had the mother without a date of death yet. So obviously the mother had not passed at that time. But beside them, there were like 7 little stones that said, Baby Hopkins, Baby Hopkins, Baby Hopkins, Baby Hopkins. Then I went back a few years later, and the mother's had passed. But after that, every time I would go back to put flowers on my own relatives' graves, there would be fresh flowers on every one of those, the mama, the daddy, and the 7 baby Hopkins. That tells me this lady probably had stillbirths.
Mm-hmm.
And at least one lived to honor them over time.
And do you find that when you go in those old cemeteries that you feel a sense of... I feel the spirits of those that are there, especially in the older cemeteries, and it's not a scary feeling. It's a sense of come learn about us, tell our story. Don't let us die in vain. Don't let us be forgotten.
You feel a sense of importance. Because, like you said, I said, you look at those stones, and they're unique and individual, and it tells a story. The modern ones, you walk in there, and you don't feel anything because they're all just little little dots on the ground. I don't like it. I love, you know.
And the cemeteries now use that as an excuse. Well, it's hard to mow around them. But it's like everything else that has happened in life that has become sanitized and impersonal.
Mm-hmm. You were right.
I knew that. I told you our conversation tonight was going to be amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, we've talked about King Satan's realm and
no,
spirits.
Satin, not Satan.
Satin.
I can't spell.
I can't read and I can't talk tonight.
I have had people say that to me. You misspell Satan. I'm going,
no, it's Satin.
It's Satin, like the cloth.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been that kind of day for me here, so please bear with me. King Satan's realm. Satan as in the cloth, not Satan as the devil. So get that
right, straight.
Thank you, Janet. It's bad. I can't talk and I can't read tonight, so anything happens, I'm off the chain. Let's talk about Wilton Magnolia, Lucky 13, Heartless, Broken, and Whatever It Takes. Are all of those the series, or are they standalones?
Lucky 13, Heartless, Broken, Whatever It Takes is the Rayford Chronicles. That is a series of four. King Satan's Realm is the first book in an adult fantasy series. Spirit's Desire will be coming out next month. So that will be the sequel to it. Wilton Magnolia's is the first in my April Chastain intrigues. I tend to write in fours, so they will all end up having four books.
Well, let's talk about Lucky 13, Heartless, Broken, and Whatever It Takes, because those are the ones that jumped out at me on the page when I was doing, like I told you before we went live, the deep dive on you to find out all about you, and inquiring minds want to know. Tell us a little bit about this and how it came about, and a little bit about each book.
Well, Lucky 13, I told you what my student said to me about being the little scrawny little white woman. And when I was in another district, I actually had books thrown at me in a different place. I took those two little incidents, and my main female character, my little heroine, is a teacher who has her students say that to her, and she ends up hitting her with a book, which puts her in a fight for her life. She is Lucky 13. That's a giveaway, but that's obviously she does not die. She's Lucky 13 because there were already 12 dead women, and now the 13th comes up missing. And I had originally written that as a standalone novel looking at multiple personality disorder.
Ooh.
My daughter read the first three chapters, and she took literally took the pages and threw them across the room. And she said, "Mama, if you make Ray a killer, I'll never read another thing you write." Mary Catherine is very opinionated. She's the only girl of five children, right smack dab in the middle, two big brothers, two little brothers. But I took that into consideration, and I ended up with the four books in the series. So it looks takes.
Wow.
I'm not going to tell you what happens, how it happens. But you still think Ray's the killer, but I'll just hint. Find out, actually, you know, we got the Rayford Chronicles, so obviously we have four books with Ray in it. So.
So Heartless is the second in the series?
Heartless is the second in the series, and in it we have another brutal killer who is literally taking people's hearts out to show them for the heartless people they are.
Interesting.
I can't tell you anything else because it gets very, 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 very personal for Ray.
What about Broken?
I have to say Broken is probably my favorite in the whole series. If I tell you why, then it gives away something about Lucky 13.
Don't tell us why. Just Just tease us a little bit.
I created the perfect man there.
Oh, my Lord. God help us all.
I'm not Dr. Frankenstein. This is the perfect man.
Uh-oh.
And then whatever it takes is kind of takes a detour. We no longer have a crazed killer. We're dealing with neo-Nazis. So.
And what else do you have on tap? Because Spirit's Desire is coming out, and you've got two more behind that, right?
Right. Will be The Last of Exceptional Breed and then One World. That will finish out the Draconis series. My Wilted Magnolias, my April Chastain entries, we will have Dyed Rosebuds, Pruned Violets, and Death Lilies. Then
now, tell
I have
me,
another... I'm sorry?
Tell me a little bit about Wilted Magnolia. What is the storyline without giving away the story?
A young girl, April, is left for dead at the age of 6 when her parents are killed. Somehow she is miraculously saved by a man-sized teddy bear. She goes away from her hometown to live with her aunt and uncle. The guy across the street who is 12 years older than her is who gave her the teddy bear. So she names the bear Russell Bear after Russell. And then she comes back to her hometown with a degree in journalism. Russell has finally come home and taken over the weekly newspaper. And she applies for a job there, only using her initials. So Russell doesn't even know it's the child that he once knew. Until she walks in the door and sparks fly immediately. And then the things unfold about who killed her parents. All these clues start to come to light. And you find out how she was saved. You know, but there's also a theme of cancer survival, because my brother-in-law, who passed away from, I may start crying because I love Fred very much.
That's okay. You can cry on this show. I do it frequently, so you just go right ahead.
We don't know what causes cancer. There are a lot of things are known to affect it, but in the story, we have water-soluble cadmium being dumped. And Brett was exposed to cadmium for many, many years. So that could have been what caused his cancer. We don't know. But we're looking at people who are dumping illegally. So, you know, all of that ties together as why the murders happened and how she was saved. And we find it all ends up tying together at the end. So,
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm putting Janet on my author list of books to download on my Kindle. I suggest you all, no, you can't go do it now. You've got to wait till we're done with the show because you'll miss something. You know, things happen on this show all the time. So, Janet, before we get at the end of the show, which is coming up very shortly, would you be willing to come back and say, oh, January, February, and get us up to speed as to where you are?
Sure, because I will have two more books out by then. Like I told you, Spirit's Desire is coming out, and I have another one coming out before Christmas. I am going to get this out before Christmas. It's entitled Homegrown Healer, and I have a series about hillbilly boys. But it's actually took place because in 1999, I saw a documentary about the impoverished conditions in Appalachia. And I thought, really, in the late 20th century, that still goes on? People not having running water, not having toilets, still going on. And then I saw some information about the Mississippi Delta, where people have to drive 50 miles to get to a doctor. And they still have some of the same conditions in the Delta with no running water. Now, we're talking 21st century, and nobody really realizes that. So it's a story about hillbilly boys, four of them, and how they put their little town on the map. The first one is Homegrown Healer, because one of them manages to go to college and come back to be a doctor in the area that was totally impoverished. So I think people will really enjoy that series. It's not a murder mystery. It's not suspense. It's just, I have to call it literary fiction because it looks at social issues. So
that I like that idea. So if I put you down for January the 25th, which is a Thursday night, would that work for you?
I can do it if I have to. That's because I usually meet with my editor on Thursday nights. But
okay, well,
no,
we can do it on the 26th if you want to, or the 27th, which is a Saturday.
Saturdays actually work really well for me.
Okay, watch this. I have an eraser on my pencil. That's why I don't put things in ink on my date book, because things happen. So I have an eraser, and I'm just going to run you over here to January the 27th and already put you down for 8 to 9 o'clock. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it first here. Miss Janet Taylor Perry will be returning on January the 27th to get us up to speed, and she's going to have all kinds of good stuff. We'll be talking about all kinds of good stuff. Now, believe it or not, we soon will be getting to the end of our show. But before we do, I want you to let folks know that are in your area that your books are in independent bookstores, correct?
Yes.
Where are they?
They are available at The Bookshelf in Ridgeland, Bay Window Books in Brandon, Main Street Books in Hattiesburg, Southern Bound Books in Biloxi, and it's Biloxi, not Biloxi. The cafe bookstore in Starkville. It's just right around the corner from Mississippi State. So,
ladies and gentlemen, if y'all are in those areas and you're looking for a good book to read, go and support. Number one, do two things. You're supporting an independent bookstore because they are becoming few and far between.
Yes,
and you're
are.
Supporting an independent author, and we are not few and far between. We are taking over the world, aren't we, Janet?
Right. And if they're driving through Mississippi, stop at one of them. And if you are not lucky enough to come to Mississippi, you can go to Amazon. They're all there.
And I bet if they went online to these independent bookstores, they would be able to ship them to them.
Probably so. I don't know how all those little independent bookstores work. Some of them have a shipment plan. They're all different. But you can always research them. Go online. Call them. They all have phone numbers.
And I'm sure they'd be happy to ship you a book. That way,
right.
You're supporting an independent bookstore and you're supporting an independent author. Yeah, I do a lot of my buying of books on. I do a lot of shopping on Amazon. Thank God for Amazon, because I hate going shopping. But support independent business people, because they are the backbone of this country. They are what made this country great to begin with. So let's keep making this country great and shop independent. Now, and the last three, we've got about 5 minutes left. What I would like for you to do is tell the folks first where you can be found. We know your books can be found on Amazon, but tell them where all you can be found.
My webpage, JanetTaylorPerry.com. I'm on Facebook, author Janet Taylor Perry, and my just regular page, Janet Taylor Perry. I'm on Twitter, at Mom5Kids421. Instagram, Janet Taylor Perry. I mean, go out there. I try to do everything I can think of. So,
good girl.
Pinterest. Follow me on
yes.
Pinterest, because I put pictures of how I picture my characters on there.
That's an excellent idea. I like that idea. Perfect. So, ladies and gentlemen, go and find Janet and hook up with her, because she's got some great works coming out. And go and buy her books. I know I'm adding her to my list. I can't wait to jump into them. I mean, adult fantasy, that should be interesting, especially when
also,
we keep trying to tell her it's Satan instead of Satin.
SouthernAuthors.com. If you order through them, they actually come directly from me, and they're signed.
There you go. SouthernAuthors.com. Go there. Janet will sign the book and send it to you. There's all kinds of ways.
If you visit my webpage, I have all those links at the bottom. So
there you go. It doesn't get any easier than that, ladies and gentlemen. Now, in about a minute and a half, how would you tell someone to make their dream real?
Well, go for it. What's the worst that can happen? You won't get it. God will shut that door. He'll open another one. Because my dream was to be a lawyer. He shut that door. And now I'm an educator and an author, and I wouldn't change places for anything. And if you're an author and you want to get a book out there, please get an eye-catching cover, a short, succinct, catchy teaser for the back, and for God's sake, get an editor.
Amen.
I don't know how many independent books I've read that are just riddled with mistakes because they did not hire an editor. That is one thing that is worth the money. And, hey, contact me. I edit, too.
There you go. Well, I've even read some mainstream authors, and I'm going, who edited this book?
I know.
This
I have to.
This is horrible.
I have to.
Horrible.
And you would never catch every mistake, but hopefully you'll catch 99% of them. So
there you go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're off until Wednesday night. Wednesday night we start over. Author Ro Morgan will be here on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Thursday night, musician, songwriter, and artist Brandy Newman will be with us. We'll be playing a couple of her songs at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Friday night, Haji Outlaw, author, will be with us at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And then Saturday night, my friend Melissa Green, who we had to postpone the show with last night because of my husband's health, she, Lord willing, will be with us because we're going to get all kinds of information from her. This woman is an amazing mother, homeschooler, wife, and she believes in everything that she does for her children and her husband and in their lifestyle. And if you are having issues with people that fuss at you because you breastfeed or you choose to homeschool your children, Melissa has got some answers for you. Trust me, she does. This woman is absolutely amazing. So join us starting next Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And I want to thank Janet for being here because she taught us many things. She taught us that it doesn't matter where you find yourself in life, that there's always a way up, a way out, and a way forward to make your life as successful as you choose to make it. And with that, you all know I say this. If you want to achieve greatness, stop asking permission.
That's right.
Don't just feel special. Be special. Because if you just feel special, you will not be special because it won't mean anything. Know you're special. Be special. Understand you're special. And, of course, my favorite, ladies and gentlemen, your smile is your logo. Your personality is your business card. And how you leave others feeling after having had an experience with you, that does become your trademark. And Janet is a prime example. The effect that she had on two students. One ended up in a bad place. The other one is her book designer. The one that ended up in the bad place, that was not Janet's fault. It was not his fault. It was the system's fault because they did not understand how to teach to the student and not to the test. That has got to go away. And in closing, if you would like to become a sponsor on this show, go to advertisecast.com, look up Off the Chain. My prices are reasonable, and I do promote you for one at every show in that month. Janet, thank you so much, my darling, for being on the show. I can't wait to get you back. I hope you had as much fun as I did.
Thank you for having me again. And remember, your luck is what you make it. Your life is what you make it. So go out and make it count.
Amen. That is, I love that. And it is very, very true. So ladies and gentlemen, when someone tells you you're not bright enough, you're not strong enough, you're not tall enough, you're not white enough, you're not black enough, you're not green enough, you're not purple enough, you're not this, you're not that, look at them and say, just watch me. And go out and make your future and make your dreams real. Because without our dreamers, we would not have what we have right now. And that is me talking to my new friend Janet in Mississippi via the internet on a radio show that goes into 70 plus countries. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say thank you for listening to this show, for your continued support. And Janet and I thank you for being here tonight, and we will see you again on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. Janet, thank you, my friend, again for coming. I enjoyed it so, so much. I hope you did, too.
Thank you, Yvonne. You were amazing. Amazing.
Well, thank
great
you.
Conversationalist.
Thank you. And I can't wait to get with you in January. We'll talk about Old Cemetery some more. We'll talk about your new books and anything
else. Maybe by then
I
can also promote my two authors.
Hey, good idea. In fact, if you want to, give them my name and we'll get them on the show as well.
That sounds good to me because, like I said, they are just trying to get out there. And I'll give you another name that I will try to get her to get in touch with you. Her name is
okay.
Lottie Bogan. It's B-O-G-G-A-N. I thought it was Boggan the first time I saw it, too. But she is my editor and mentor. She is 83 years old.
Wow.
And she has been a contributor to the Northside Sun newspaper here for like 50 years.
Wow.
She has written three novels, one memoir of a sort, which is just amazing, and put together so many anthologies with other people's stories, and editing them and putting them together. That she's just an amazing lady. And I think I'm going to force the Mississippi Writers Guild to give her the Lifetime Achievement next year.
There you go. Yes, we
she
need Miss Lottie on the show. Yes, she does. We need Miss Lottie on the show. Get her and the others to contact me, and we can set them. I'm already booked up through the end of the year, so I'm doing bookings now for January, February, and March.
Well, that sounds good. If you could somehow get her on there on Valentine's Day, I don't know if you'll even be broadcasting that night. Her husband of 57 years passed away on Valentine's Day, so that
Uh-oh.
Could be a way to help her, you know.
Hey, guess what? That's on Wednesday. That's the day before we go out of town, and I have on my note special show for Valentine's. So if we can, let's work. I'm going to put her name down to be on the show.
Well, I'm going to get in touch with her. If I have to go over there and make the phone call for her and sit with her.
Okay, that works too.
But her email is baby, B-A-B-Y, says, S-E-Z, at AOL.com. And that was because her husband always said, whatever baby says.
Oh, I love it. All right, you get in contact with her. Tell her I want her on the show, and I want her on Valentine's Day. I've got her penciled in for Valentine's Day.
And
because
she would
I already
definitely
had.
Talk about her former husband, you know, who passed away.
That would be
who
great.
Who was also an amazing man, a World War II vet, and just an amazing man. He really was.
Let's make this happen.
And we will make this happen, because I got Carlene on there. I mean, Carlene got me
yes.
with you, so I know how
yes,
you came up
did.
With Carlene. But
I don't remember, but
I mean, her book is dynamic.
It is an amazing
book.
It is
a limited audience in a way, because not everybody can relate to that, but those who do will be touched in a way they never thought possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So see how this thing works? Everybody just tells everybody about this show, and it's just exploded into this epidemic of online radio shows with all of you wonderful, wonderful artists, and I appreciate it so much.
And if God, for some reason, decides to take Lottie home before that day, because she is 83, but healthy as a horse, but if anything happens between now and then, dadgummit, I'll promote her books for her.
We'll do a show in her honor.
Yes, her and Mr.
That
Will.
Works. Yes, we can do that. All right, my darling, I'm going to hang up now so that I can get this into archives for you, and thank you again.
All right, send me that link so I can get the archive stuff.
I will as soon as it gets up.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you, darling. Talk to you later.
Night-night.
Night-night. Bye.